Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce. Oh!
I told you I was gonna ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is Sunday, June 13th, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and guys, I am not excited to talk about wrestling this week just because it was a really overall boring week, in my opinion, and maybe I'm in the minority, but I don't think so. I can't even search on AEW for something, at least like a good match or a memorable match that I can choose as the high for the week. So this is going to be a very low-oriented show. So if that is not your thing, if you don't like to hear honest opinions about crappy wrestling programming, then this is not the show for you. But if it is the show for you, welcome. Thank you for choosing this show to listen to, and thank you for choosing the WWE podcast. Guys, we're on Patreon, $1 a month. You get all of this stuff ad-free. Just go to Patreon on the app and search the WWE podcast, or go on the website and do it that way if you're weird and that's what you like to do. $1 a month, everything ad-free, and then there are obviously other tiers that you can sign up for too, where you get more stuff. So you guys know the deal. Usually when you pay more, you get more things. But at the very least, $1 a month, and you get all of this, this whole entire WWE podcast library ad-free, and hopefully with some more exclusive shows coming soon. So, good stuff over there. And without further ado, guys, let's get into this week in wrestling. I want to quickly answer. I got a bunch of emails here from Aiden in Ireland, and I want to answer some of those before I get actually into this week in wrestling, because I'm sure we're going to cover some of that stuff as I go through. So let's prioritize the questions here first, and then we will get into this week. So thank you, as always, Aiden, for sending in questions. If you guys have any questions, you can always send it to me at mimi.realwwepodcast@gmail.com. I also get a bunch of emails from you guys, too, just talking about the product. And I don't usually pull those on the show just because we don't have the time for that. But it's specifically, obviously, if you ask me any questions on those emails, I'll make sure to try to get it on this show. But yeah, you can always just email me your thoughts and or questions or whatever. As long as it's appropriate and about wrestling, shoot me an email at mimi.realwwepodcast@gmail.com, and I will more than likely get back to you. So, Aiden, your first two questions you have here are, if I was locked in a room with John Laurinaitis, what would I do to change his mind? How? Well, Aiden, it's funny you bring this up, because I actually this week... in another area of my life, had to deal with somebody who was, let me put it this way, was behaving inappropriately towards a lot of women, and so we had to confront this person, and, you know, he essentially denied a lot of things and just was so unable to see that his actions were not okay, and whatever. We all know the type. There's like the narcissist, essentially. And so, Aiden, honestly, if I was in a room with John Laurinaitis, right, to transition from that, I would probably treat him exactly as I treated this person this past week. And I wouldn't expect much. Probably say my piece and leave the results up to the results. You can't change people. You can do your best to try to let them see another side or another point of view, but you can't change people. And I think, you know, a John Laurinaitis, a Vince McMahon, and many other powerful, rich, white men are perfect examples of that. Not all of them. But there are definitely a lot. They're definitely an easy pool to pick from in this category. So, you know, the boring answer for you, Aiden, is I probably wouldn't try to change his mind. I probably would, you know, give a case, maybe at most, as to what you all have heard me say on this podcast a million times. And if you haven't heard me say it before, you can go back and listen to any of these shows that I'm on, because I probably complained about the treatment of the women's division on almost every single show, probably besides NXT, which still has its problems, but they do the best at everything. So yeah, I would probably say that, you know, my favorite part of the show a couple years back, at least, was the women's wrestling, you know, when you had the four horsewomen, et cetera, et cetera. And you're ruining it for me, John. Why would you ruin it for me, John? Why would you do that to me? Why would you break my heart like that? Is probably what I'd say, and maybe I'd cry. No, I wouldn't cry. I don't know, Aiden. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I don't know if that applies here, but I'm going to stick with that and move on to your next question, which was, what impact will Eva Marie have on WWE? Speaking of John Laurinaitis, you said, can you see her as a leader in the locker room? No, Aiden, I can't see her as a leader in the locker room whatsoever. I don't think there are many leaders in the locker room because, I don't know, who are they leading? There's 7 women on the roster for the SmackDown brand. So, what effect do I have? Or what effect do I think she will have? Well, I think that Eva Marie will continue to support the argument that I've stated many times, that the women's division is furthering and furthering back into what was the Divas division and pre-Divas division, women's division, way before the Divas butterfly title, you know, they weren't making strides so much as women. I mean, of course, there were a few moments, and I specifically think about, like, Alita when I think about that, a Mickey James and a Trish Stratus. But realistically, really scour your brain, and it gets difficult to name any other female wrestlers from that time that actually were memorable. You know, Victoria had her moments too, and so I'm talking about pre-Divas division. It wasn't all that great then. And then their solution to that was to switch it to the Divas division, because that's not degrading, and give us a butterfly title for the women. That was great. And now, yeah, I think Eva Marie will probably, you know, slowly but surely continue that downward spiral for the women's division, because, you know, whether or not she trained to wrestle, hopefully she did, and she's better in the ring than I think she's going to be, she got hired in the first place because of her looks. I remember way back in the day, I must have only been like 13, 14 when Total Divas first came out. And I used to watch it with a friend of mine who actually wasn't into wrestling. It was weird, but she wanted to watch the show. So I watched it with her. And I remember JoJo and Eva Marie, if you guys remember JoJo, the ring announcer, who was supposed to be a diva at the time too. And yeah, they both got hired for their looks, essentially. They had no past wrestling experience. They had no athletic experience, period, just because they were good looking. And so, you know, I think there's been cases where some women who are quote unquote hired because of their looks are okay wrestlers. Alicia Fox, Kelly Kelly. They weren't the worst. There have been worse. But I think Eva Marie's effect on the women's division can only be negative for that precedent that's been set, that she was clearly hired because of her looks and she wasn't hired because of her talent. And if she has talent, that's great, but that's secondary to management. I believe that wholeheartedly. So, you know, as storyline wise, I don't know. I mean, I think there would be, I'm like thinking back to NXT back in the day, obviously when Bayley was the NXT Women's Champion, and I didn't watch a lot of NXT back then, I'll be honest, but from what I've heard, basically the way they used her was in like headcanon to threaten, you know, having someone who was such a crappy wrestler as your Women's Champion by giving her title opportunities and such, so I think that's probably the best way to use her. Like, they used her in, like, 2015 NXT, and I might have that year wrong, but that's probably the best way to use her. Honestly, guys, I don't need her. I don't need Eva Marie, and I'm hoping I will be pleasantly surprised, but I doubt I will. So that's my answer to that, Aiden, and now let me search. I think you had another question here. Or more talking about the women's division. You said, for me, I want to talk about the women devaluing themselves, and you're talking about Carmella being the most beautiful woman in the world, and Eva Marie coming soon in hot pants, and Dana and Mandy are really in bra and pants. I think you meant panties on Raw. And yeah, we've talked about the whole Instagram thing, and is the problem Johnny Ace or the fact that many women like to strip down for attention? I'd be careful there, Aiden, with that. If you get your butt cheeks on Instagram daily, if you get if you get your butt cheeks out on Instagram, I don't know, I assume I could say that on this podcast. If you get your butt cheeks out on Instagram daily, is this a confidence misunderstanding of women's values issues? Is it acceptable for good-looking women to strip down WWE superstar or not? As a modern woman, I'm surely modern women wearing little clothes in a ring is a reflection of society. More and more women wear little in Ireland and I assume America. Yeah, we really call our women's division. All right, so without getting too political here, Aiden, and I know I didn't read your whole thing, but I just want to make sure we tread carefully here, and I, even as a woman, also make sure I tread carefully here, because you never want to offend someone on purpose, or at least offend someone by speaking insensitively. And so I've said this before, and I'll say it again on this show without going down on this diatribe. Women of any profession, of any way of life, of no profession, women all around the world, specifically more so the age of 18 and up, hopefully, can wear and act and do whatever the fuck they want. I solemnly believe that. I have no problem with that because it's none of my fucking business. None of my business and will never be any of my business. What you do with your life. And you know what? That goes for men too. Men can wear whatever they want too. Everybody can do whatever the hell they want, as long as they're not hurting themselves or other people, or harming themselves or other people. So that same life thing that I live by applies to the women in general. It applies to women, period, in general, outside of WWE. So, and men and whoever and whatever you identify as. We welcome all here on the WWE podcast. But so I guess what you were saying in regards to their Instagrams, I think rock on your Instagram, whatever makes you feel good. I think these people are independent contractors and they can do whatever they want. I want to point out that Lana was probably making more money from her contract deals outside of WWE before WWE got even more greedy and did the whole third-party agreement thing that we don't have time to get into today. And so now that she's released, she's probably making more money again because she probably has all these great third-party deals because she's a beautiful woman and turns out you can make a lot of money like that. Cool. Rock on, you know. I've not been afforded those same opportunities or don't particularly want to go down that kind of career path. But, like, I mean, you look at all these young boys on TikTok and whatever else. I don't know if I'm preaching to people who have no idea what I'm talking about, but who are making money essentially by, you know, lip singing on an app on the iPhone and Android or whatever. And they have, like, millions of dollars now. Like, okay, same thing. Cool. Props to you that you are able to make a living off of whatever, essentially uploading things on social media. I think that's great. And so, yeah, so this is all me. I know I'm going down a weird tangent, but this is all me saying that whatever you do in your spare time or with your social media or whatever, as long as you're not harming yourself or others, I could not care less. If you are an independent contractor under the WWE name, you should be able to do whatever you want. Your question, is the problem Johnny Ace or the fact that many women like to strip down for attention? I don't think it's either problem like that on Instagram. I think they are really heavily monitored on Instagram and all other social media, but I don't think anybody's being pressured to post anything like that. I'd like to assume so, at least. But, as a modern woman, surely women wearing little clothes in the ring is a reflection of society. Yeah, I think that's a reflection of bigotry, sexism, unequal opportunities in the workplace, double standards. Like, we could go down the list. I think that's what it's a reflection of, absolutely. And I guarantee you there's not a woman on the roster who's ever made more money than, you know, even the guys who get paid in the middle. You know, I would like to think that Charlotte Flair is making more than Reginald, but who knows? Who really knows? So, yeah, there's clearly a lot of problems specifically with the women in WWE and across all companies. But specifically, obviously, I know what you're referring to. And I know, let me put it this way, I know you have a good intention. I don't think you're meaning to offend anybody. And I'm not taking any of this offensively, any of this stuff in your email. But I am trying to tread lightly because it is a sensitive topic. My view, and we've talked about this before on the show, my view is that when the women, specifically, let's talk about WWE and I guess Mandy Rose and such, but in all wrestling promotions too, when women come out and their primary goal is their beauty or it's not championships, when their primary goal is different than the men's, that's a problem. And so when Carmella comes down and is talking about how she's beautiful and whatever, and that's, you know, but still the most beautiful woman in WWE, like, I don't care. I don't know if anybody's invested in that. And realistically, Vince McMahon, like I've said before, probably has no women on the creative team. Even if he did, probably wouldn't listen to him. And is still in whatever time century where, you know, that was considered okay for some reason, that women were just objects and that's all they cared about was their appearance. Carmella's actually been a real big advocate for the women to have more time on the show. And so I'll say this to summarize all this, because I know I feel like I'm kind of rambling here. I don't think this is any of the women on the roster's fault. I think this is a problem with creative and lack of intelligence and the ability to see that women are just as good as the men in wrestling and in a lot of things in life, and that they shouldn't be treated just because of their physical parts that they have. I would like to think that a lot of people out there are really into women's wrestling as a whole, not because of their gender, but just because it's entertaining and good to watch and the women are athletic and talented. And and Carmella specifically is somebody who does an amazing job with whatever material she's given. So I think she's doing the best with what she's given. I guarantee you though, Aiden, that if Corey Graves didn't work in WWE anymore, Carmella would be asking for her release, and I guarantee she'd be trying to wrestle somewhere else, because I think Carmella's super talented and is not about the creative that she's been given, but she's just making the most of it, because what else is she going to do? She's doing the best she can with her job. Not to mention, guys, 50-50 booking, and I called it. I think I even called it on the show last week, but I said that Liv Morgan was going to win this week. They were going to have the exact same match, and Liv Morgan was going to win this week, and what happened? So that's a real problem there, but I appreciate all the emails. I know it's a sensitive subject, guys, and I just went on for about 15, 20 minutes about, you know, all this stuff. So if you're still with me, let's get to the actual official highs and lows of the week, guys, and let's start with the low of the week. And honestly, do I have a pool to choose from? I can't even cover everything because there was so much crap this week, guys. Elias versus Jackson Ryker. Who am I cheering? Supposedly Jackson Ryker, and you know how I know that? Not because of the good creative, but because of the pumped in crowd noise. I'm not going to ever forget about Jackson Ryker's spit. That was the grossest thing I've seen in a while. It was so long. And I know you mentioned, Aiden, as well, some of the stuff about Jackson Ryker, and I emailed you back about that. I don't need to give Jackson Ryker any more airtime on the show, but that was a bad match, and Elias just ran away. So, you know, another false finish. Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre is boring to me at this point. The dialogue was cheesy. It's always cheesy. I don't care. It's repetitive and dull and dry and boring. Lashley and his army of women arriving late for no reason, whatever. Ricochet versus Humberto Carrillo. The two biggest heels in the company facing each other to fight one of the biggest baby faces in the company. Jeff Hardy, guys, beat Cedric Alexander after Cedric Alexander essentially got 50-50'd against Shelton Benjamin, but I guess it was more like 75-25, and then got beat by Jeff Hardy, who's been living on Main Event. What are they doing? What's the point? They have an inability to push anybody, guys. Anybody. And that's not even a low for the week. Don't get me started. I'm not even going to talk about this Raw women's division. What the fuck is going on with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley and Asuka and Nikki Cross? My own mental health, guys. My own mental health. I'm pretty sure we just saw a replay of last week's Mansoor versus Drew Gulak. It's good wrestling, but why would I care? And the main event of Raw, guys. The main event of Raw. I cannot even touch it. This is not a pro wrestling company, is all I will say about this. This is a content factory, and we should listen to Nick Khan and Vince McMahon when they say that WWE, the World Wrestling Entertainment, right, is no longer a wrestling company. Because maybe if we just believe what they say when they say that, I won't be surprised by this stuff anymore. And honestly, I wasn't. It is beyond analysis, guys, at this point. Beyond analysis. NXT, I was really hoping they were just going to give Ember Moon the clean win, but of course they couldn't do that. and then a bunch of cheesy dialogue in the main event. Like Pete Dunne saying, I'm sick of talking. Like, okay, then stop talking. Stop talking. Keeps talking. AEW Dynamite sucked this week. If you want to hear my thoughts on that, go listen to the review show. And SmackDown. I talked about the Carmella Mandy Rose. See, I don't even care. I talked about the Carmella Liv Morgan thing. Just wonderful 50-50 booking with a feud that supposedly is a feud, I guess, with a subject of the feud that I am disgusted by and couldn't care less about. The Ding Dong Hello Show with Seth Rollins was funny for a minute, and then I don't know what. And then at the end, let me point it this way. Fine, the Cesaro beatdown was good, but like it was too much. It was cute and it was funny at first, but it got to be too much. Like, no, went to pull back a little bit. But then at the end of the thing, your babyface champion Bianca Belair comes out and laughs at Bayley, and laughs at Bayley's misfortune. How is that a babyface? I'm glad they're doing something kind of with the tag team division on SmackDown, guys. But we're actually going to, spoiler alert, stick with SmackDown for our highs and lows for the week, guys, and talk about Shinsuke Nakamura versus King Corbin. And you know what, guys, I'm actually glad I went on a whole diatribe about the questions I got from you, Aiden, this week, because because I really don't have a lot to say about either of these things, guys. I'm so getting sick of watching the WWE product. Besides NXT, NXT is the only bearable thing for the most part, and Roman Reigns. NXT and Roman Reigns. It's not even SmackDown, guys. It's NXT and Roman Reigns. Because I urge you to find me one thing, maybe the tag team division, kind of, one thing on this show, on SmackDown, that's actually not just repetitive and boring. Like, the Intercontinental thing is just, it's the same stuff, guys. It's the same stuff over and over again. And Commander Aziz, by the way, that Nigerian nail, they, like, played a slow-motion version of it. He didn't even come close to his throat. Oh, it's so bad, guys. It's so bad. Find me one thing on SmackDown besides Roman Reigns that you are actually entertained by. And Rick Boogs. Because Rick Boogs is the greatest thing that's happened to television, period, in the longest time. But yeah, so let me go back to our low for the week, which involves Rick Boogs, I guess, and that officially is Shinsuke Nakamura versus King Corbin, because, guys, is this the fourth or the third time they've faced off? And it's not even for the possession of the crown, because they just made that match for next week. So 50-50, 50-50, 50-50, one wins, the next. They can't even change it up by having one person win twice in a row and then having another person win twice in a row. They do back and forth, back and forth. Nobody wins in 50-50 booking. Nobody wins. I would rather see, and Matt and I talked about this on the Week in Review, so if you haven't gone and listened to that, go listen to that. Free plug there. It's on the same exact feed, obviously. I'd rather have one person lose a crap ton and one person win a bunch. I'd rather just have one person lose a crap ton, like Curt Hawkins on the losing streak, than 50-50 booked, because that's actually a storyline. You can work something there. You can't do anything with 50-50 booking. Wins and losses don't mean crap in WWE. They don't mean anything. And this is just content. It is literally to fill time so they can put in advertisements. I don't know why I'm watching this show anymore, guys. And I really have no interest in watching WWE television anymore. I am not sure how much longer I'm going to last. You might just have me for the AEW review show on this podcast, guys, because I can't, I'm wasting so much of my time watching WWE. It is unworthy of analysis at this point, because you hear me talk about the same things every week on the show, and I have no interest in doing it anymore, guys. There are very few things in WWE to get excited about, and even those things are still tainted because it's from a company that's so screwed up, so screwed up. So yeah, after the match, guys, Rick Boogs sends Corbin over the commentary table, and Nakamura retains possession of the crown. Just have a King in the Ring tournament. Have a King of the Ring tournament. Instead of that, guys, they do this. Instead of a easy tournament opportunity to elevate talent, they do this. Program gets beaten into the ground. Even Rick Boogs can't save this. They don't even give Rick Boogs the entrance thing. That was the best part about this whole thing, and you don't even get that. So I'm moving on. I'm sick of talking about this crap. Guys, the high of the week goes to Rey Mysterio's challenge to Roman Reigns, and then the beatdown on them. And, you know, last week was awesome, too. Rey Mysterio's dialogue kind of sucked. I thought it was, you know, I acknowledge you as a rat, other B word that doesn't end in itch, was weird. And, you know, at least they're getting a little creative. They're using a different B word, so that's news. And obviously Mysterio attacks him with the kendo stick that I think got, like, put in the ring by Dominic, who was under the ring hanging out with Hornswoggle, but I don't know. Mysterio, you know, swings at him a bunch like a baseball bat to a baseball. I don't know what I'm saying anymore, guys. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Essentially, Reigns, like, kicks the crap out of him, and then Dominic shows up, and then Reigns kicks the crap out of him, too. And, you know, it was really good to see Roman Reigns didn't need either Uso to be able to take on both Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. Rey Mysterio, as much as he's been buried into the ground with this whole Seth Rollins thing and his weird family crap and Buddy Murphy, who's not in the company anymore, I wonder how that relationship's working out. He's still a beloved babyface because I grew up watching Rey Mysterio. He was my favorite wrestler as a little kid for a while. So, you know, it is effective heat to watch Randy Orton, to watch Roman Reigns beat the crap out of Rey Mysterio at Hell in a Cell. And I hope that's exactly how the match goes. And, you know, I hope they get me similar to the Ember Moon, Raquel Gonzalez match tonight. I hope they get me on one good hot spot, one good hope spot. And that's about the most I can hope for, guys. And I'm looking forward to continuing to watch this whole Uso-Roman Reigns segment, but I'm getting to the point where I feel like I'm just going to skip through everything else on the show. Or maybe I'll just start watching some soap operas like The Young and the Restless or The Bold and the Beautiful, and that's where I'll get my Roman Reigns family drama itch scratched from. So I hate this place, guys. I'm tired and I hate it here. But let me give you a random match recommendation of the week before we sign off here. And that one is going to be none other than Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan for the World Heavyweight Championship in a 2 out of 3 falls match at the pay-per-view Extreme Rules in 2012. Notice how I said Extreme Rules and not Extreme Rules the horror show, because at one point WWE wasn't stupid. Well, less stupid. Yeah, guys, let's throw it back to a better time. Daniel Bryan, you know, pre-goat hair, but Daniel Bryan just was always such a dime piece in this company, and I miss him, and he's dearly, dearly missed on SmackDown. Definitely can tell. And Sheamus, who is an unsung hero of just WWE, period, but especially this past year, post-Jeff Hardy awful feud, because that was just uncomfortable. But post-Jeff Hardy feud, for the most part, guys, since the Thunderdome era, Sheamus has been, you know, just a nice... If you tune out everything else that's happening around it, the matches are actually fun to watch. So, he is a brawler for sure and stiff, and it's fun to watch people beat the crap out of each other. That's why we do this thing and watch wrestling. So, again, guys, Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan, 2 out of 3 falls match, Extreme Rules 2012 for the World Heavyweight Championship. That's your random match recommendation for the week. That's all from me. I hate this company. Hopefully, I'm just excited for AEW to get back on Wednesday nights, guys, and hopefully this pay-per-view tonight's pretty good. So I hope you guys are watching NXT TakeOver tonight as well in your house. Should be fun, a little nostalgia there for most of NXT's audience, which the demographic is not my age, at least. And cool, rock on, and you know, they're doing great ever since they split nights and went to Tuesdays instead of staying on Wednesdays. So I'm looking forward to tonight's pay-per-view, and I'm not looking forward to a lot else next week. So let's start on a high note, though, guys, and I'm sure we'll definitely be talking about stuff that happens tonight next week on the highs and lows, if I make it that far. All right, guys, have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you next time.